day and age, they're not allowed to mix with the public. His heritage is very, it frightens me at times. When I think back, it's the same thing that happened to our people. Maybe we lost it about 100, 150 years ago, where the stay-by code of practice, they've got to, there's about five codes of practice that they've got to follow, is you don't shout at your wife, you don't beat your wife. There's no divorces within the family. There's no swearing, and there's no telling lies. You must be honest with everybody. And the
that
fifth,
sounds like a good deal to me.
And the fifth one was that you hadn't to lose your culture and blend in with society. And I mean, 1986, this is still going on today. If a man and wife cheats on camp, the man, they deal with them themselves, you know, and the man gets castrated and the woman gets thrown to the women, and then the two of them, after this has been done, gets thrown out of camp and banished. So this is the kind of guy I married 2 years ago. But you see, there's no chance in him cheating on me. That's the only one I keep up. So he's back in Scotland. He thinks folk singing is wonderful, our type of traditional folk singing. The first year I married him, I took him to Keith Folk Festival, where you get all types of traditional music, traditional singing, commercialised singing, folk music, you get everything. And I just threw him in at the deep end and let him get on with it. And at the end I says, well, which do you like? He says, I like the traditional ballads. That just was right up my alley. So he's back there, and he's looking after our son, and I'm out here, folks. But he won't go off camp till I go back. My brother's keeping an eye on him.
Do you sing any, have you learned any songs from him?
He doesn't sing. His family weren't a singing family. They were more of a cultural, within the family. They play violins and they dance. That's the only culture within his family. At the end of the season, they go through France, Germany, Spain and Holland, picking grapes, grape picking. That's how they make their money, doing contract works to farmers in Europe. And at the end, they all meet in Holland, and there's about 300 trailer loads of the one family meet at this one particular spot in Holland, where they spend a week there singing, dancing, playing their music, and drinking the wine. And that's only 1 week a year that all the family meet. But he doesn't have any songs, it's only the music.
What's his favorite of your songs?
The favorite of my songs that I sing to him is Jock Stewart.
Here's that one.
That is his favorite.
Here's that one.
Well, this was a song that was made, it's not an old song, it was made quite a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And it was made for my grandfather, whose name was Jock Stewart. He was a great piper. He held the Championship of Scotland for 9 years. And the exact words of this song is the exact person that man was. He was a canny gone man, as we say. And a canny gone man means a quiet gentleman. And that's, this song was made for him. There's an Irish version of this as well. Since it came on the scene in that time, it has escalated. I think half of the United States sings it as well, so I'm sure you know it. Oh, my name is Jock Stewart. I'm a canny gunman and a roving young fellow I've been. So be easy and free when you're drinking with me. I'm a man you don't meet every day. I have acres of land and men at command, and I've is a shilling to spend. So be easy and free when you're drinking with me. I'm a man you don't meet every day. I'm a piper by trade. I'm a roving young blade. And it's many's the tunes I do play. When you're drinking with me, I'm a man you don't meet every day. I go out with my dog and my gun for to shoot all along by the bank of the tea. So be easy and free when you're drinking with me. I'm a man you don't meet every day. So come fill up your glass with brandy and wine, and whatever's the cost, I will pay. So be easy and free when you're drinking with me. I'm a man you don't meet.
Phyllis Marx is another great friend. I don't know how long I've heard her singing. I think probably the first time was at Glenville Festival, but I also heard her sing years ago at the Vandalia Gallery in Charleston. She was discovered. Isn't that a funny thing to say about someone? She was discovered by Dr. Patrick Gaynor, a great West Virginia native, West Virginia folklorist, who came, I guess, from the Gaynors or Gilmer County people. And Patrick invited Phyllis to perform at the Glenville Folk Festival, I think in probably around 1960. What did you tell him you'd have to...
I had four babies then. I had four children in less than 6 years, so I said, well, I can't sing unless I have a rock chair. Only joking, but when I got there, why, it was a rock chair. And I never felt that I could sing a ballad. I thought I had to sing something silly.
Why was that?
Well, I just didn't think I had the voice to sing a ballad. My children went to hear me sing, and they said I sounded better over a microphone. So one time at the Methodist Church, our county nurse, she was helping with the hymn singing. She asked me if I'd like to sing an old hymn, and so I thought, well, there was a microphone. I'll just see what happened. I got up, sung my Sunday best over that microphone. It wasn't turned on.
And nobody knew.
Nobody, no.
Also, with Phyllis is her granddaughter, Crystal Law, who's following in her grandmother's footsteps. musically speaking, and probably another way, we hope in other ways too, because Phyllis is a good person to model yourself after. I have been on tour with them in Washington, D.C., and I've heard them sing together. And Crystal's here on a special scholarship we've arranged for apprentices of the great folk artists here in West Virginia. And thank you for coming, Crystal. And for
she's a much better singer than I am. She can really sing a hymn without a microphone.
Can you think of one? What's the one you like to do together most?
Well, I think she could do the Wayfaring Stranger by herself. We could sing the Paper Pins together.
Okay, but why don't you start with that and let her get warmed up.
I'll give to you a paper of pens if that's the way our love begins, if you will marry me. Let's start a little higher. Okay. I'll give to you a paper of pens if that's the way our love begins, if you will marry me. Oh, miss, if you will marry me.
I'll not accept your paper of pens. That's not the way our love begins. And I'll not marry you, oh, sir, and I'll not marry you.
I'll give to you a dress of red, bound all around with golden thread, if you will marry me, oh miss, if you will marry me.
I'll not accept your dress of red, bound all around with golden thread, and I'll not marry you, oh sir, and I'll not marry you.
I'll give to you a dress of green, that you may be my lovely queen, if you will marry me, oh miss, if you will marry me.
I'll not accept your dress of green so that I may be your lovely queen, and I'll not marry you, oh sir, and I'll not marry you.
I'll give to you a little black dog to go with you when you go abroad, if you will marry me, oh miss, if you will marry me.
I'll not accept your little black dog to go with me when I go abroad, and I'll not marry you, oh sir, and I'll not marry you.
I'll give to you a little gold ring if you will have such a thing, if you will marry me, oh miss, if you will marry me.
I'll not accept your little gold ring, I'll not have such a thing, and I'll not marry you, oh sir, and I'll not marry you.
I'll give to you the key to my heart that we may lock and never part, if you will marry me, oh miss, if you will marry me.
I'll not accept the key to your heart that we may lock and never part, and I'll not marry you, oh sir, and I'll not marry you.
I'll give to you the key to my chest that you may have money at your request, if you will marry me, oh miss, if you will marry me.
I will accept the key to your chest that I may have money at my request, and I will marry you, oh sir, and I will marry you.
Ha 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 ha, since money is all, I'll not marry you at all, and I'll not marry you, oh miss, and I'll not marry you.
The nicest thing about Phyllis Marx for me is I'm sure that I'll never hear all the songs she knows. That's utterly charming. It's the first time I've ever heard you do that. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
It has several versions, but my mother sang it to me years ago, and it just didn't do anything for me for a long time. then I saw other versions in the book, so I just went back to that was one I could see, and then Crystal read me some too out of a book, and so I went back to the version that my mother sang.
Can you tell us a little more about your musical relationship with your mother?
Well, yeah, we was poverty stricken, but I didn't know it. I thought everybody had hard times and good times, and until I became president of the Federated Women's Club, I didn't realize that we was poverty stricken. They wanted to do something for the Appalachian poor people, and I was one of them. And I wish they hadn't told me. But we did. I was a depression child, but Mom would have the kids in. My father died when I was 7 months old, and all the kids would just feel free to come, and they'd say, "Arlene, tell us a story. Arlene, sing us a song." I guess you guessed by now Arlene was my mother's name. And they were always welcome, and whatever we had, they won some of it. I mean, beans and taters or whatever, and she'd say, "That's all I've got to eat." Well, that's what we want. The house was just open to the kids, and even now, they'll say, when I see them now, as old as I am, they'll say, "Do you remember such and such a song that your mother sang?" Well, of course I do. I remember a lot of them. I've made some tapes lately for send around the country to some of the people that listen to them, to my mother's songs. But this Wayfaring Stranger that was my grandmother's favorite, and it was brought to this country by the Irish. They were oppressed people, and all the oppressed people sang it. It was called Wayfaring Pilgrim to start with. And Grandma sang a lot of songs too. She died when I was 5, but even at that, I'd remember. And I'd say, "Mom, do you remember such and such a song?" And I'd sing her a line or two of it. Together, we'd put them together, put the songs together. And then in later years, when I couldn't see the songs anymore, I did like most people, I think, felt sorry for myself and forgot some of them. But I still remember a few. But that was, Mom would go along the street singing. And they'd say, "Arlene, are you happy?" And she'd say, "Oh no, just a whistling to keep up my courage." So, that was a pretty good philosophy, I think. And she'd even take her fishing pole on Sunday and go to the creek. And that was back when you wasn't supposed to do anything on Sunday but just sit in the house. But I think that's therapy now, isn't it, for people whenever they're having problems, just take their fishing pole and go to the creek, mm-hmm. Think things out. She's way ahead of the rest of them.
Sheila, does any of that ring a bell with you? The song they sang, I saw you nodding your head. Is there a Scottish or do the traveling people have a version of that song?
Well, we had a version of that at school. I didn't learn it or sing it, but I know the song. Oh yeah, I did it when I was younger.
Could you give us a line or two of it, just to?
It's just the same.
The same.
Yeah,
same tune. Now.
Just exactly the same. Yeah. Uh-huh. Just the same. Exactly the same.
Do you sing the song of the Plains of Waterloo? I asked your mother yesterday.
Maybe we had a different name, but Plains of Waterloo.
A song about a man returning home to his young love after a long, after being away at war for many years.
The only song
it's one of the token songs.
The only one I know is Maggie Barry's version of the Waterloo song. If you know Maggie Barry.
Yeah, can you sing that?
It's the Mantle of Green.
Oh yeah.
That's about Waterloo.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend getting killed in Waterloo. God, it's a hard song. I've been singing all morning. As I went out walking one morning in June to and the meadows in bloom, I spied a young damsel. She appeared like a queen in her costly fine robes and her mantle so green. I said, "My young man," I'm wrong. God, I can't even remember it. I'll just start with the second verse. Oh, says I, pretty fair maid, will you walk with me? And we'll join in wedlock, and married we'll be. I will dress you in rich vestures, you'll appear like a queen. In your costly fine robes and your mantles green. I said, my young man, you must be refused, for I'll wed no man, and you must be excused. For the green fields I'll wander, with the sun all in view, for the lies in famed Waterloo. Oh, since you are not married, tell me your love's name. I might be in battle, I might know the same. Draw near to my garments, and there you will see his name and his surname in letters of gold. Young William O'Reilly appeared in my view. He was my chief comrade in a fame Waterloo. And as he lay dying, I heard his last cry. If you were my lovely Nancy, I'd be willing to die. And that is the truth, the truth I declare. So here is a token, I'm going my way.
That's
hard work. I'll sing you a West Virginia version called The Plains of Waterloo from Hazel Stover in Clay County. This is probably only a fragment because it's very short, but an interesting song, I think, to find in Clay County, West Virginia, about Waterloo. And she just says that this came down from her father's side of the family, and she doesn't know any more than that about it. It was at Sacramento, like fire from the sky. The cannons loudly they did roar, the shells how they did fly. Our hero fell a victim there, while many lay there slew, who had fought in Spain, and the Portuguese was slain at Waterloo. This young man that I speak of now was proper tall and slim. His teeth like shining ivory gleamed whene'er he chanced to grin. His cheeks, they were of a finish red, his eyes by nature blue. I will mourn for him who is dead and gone on the plains of water. Well, since I cannot get him, no other man I'll take. Through lonesome glades and shady groves I'll wander for his sake. Through lonesome glades and shady groves, o'er hills and valleys too. you all have anything like that? Your family songs sound very Irish. There are a lot of ditties in the children's songs and play party songs that your mother sang.
Yeah.
Can you talk about those a little bit?
Oh. Can you help me, Crystal? She sang silly little ditties like her Patty Hick was a boy that, you know, you talked upon, sang a while. You remember that one? Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yep.
You, Crystal? Mm-hmm. You sing that with me? Her Patty was a boy, looked out for number one. Her Patty was a boy when he ate and did begun. His mither was a Murphy, and he was his mither's son, and he ate till he burst in the morning. We got on board a ship and started for America, and we hadn't been on board very long till the vessel sprung a leak. She let water in below. Go bring the doctor quick, said Patsy Cindy, leave her go. I had the same complaint myself, and for Ireland I did go, and I thought that I should die before the morning. We hadn't been on shore very long till a battle began, and along came a cannonball and shrapped the head of the captain. And says he, Pat, says he, if you have any regard for your old captain, says he, you'll go out and hunt up his head, says he, and I'll do it, says I. And I got out and I got looking around, and I spried a head rolling uphill toward a canteen of whiskey. And I picked it up and I tuck it to him, and says I, Cap, says I, here is your head, says I. Tis not, says he, tis, says I. Tis not, says he, tis, says I. Tis not, says he, tis, says I. Head or no head, divil one other head I'll bring in. I throwed his head in his own face and walked off a-singing. There a Paddy was a boy who looked out for number one. There a Paddy was a boy when the eating did begun. His mither was a Murphy, and he was his mither's son, and he ate till he burst in the morning. We had one. Dunderbeck was it? It's kind of an Irish tune.
Let's go. Let's hear that.
I keep looking around at Crystal, but I don't know if she's looking at me.
She is.
She is.
You want to sing Dunderbeck with me?
Oh, it's all right.
Come on.
You can handle it.
There was a good old Shazer man. His name was Dunderbeck. He was very fond of sauerkraut and sausagers and speck. He built a great big butcher shop, the largest ever seen, and thought him up a patent to make sausagers by steam. And now, old Mr. Dunderbeck, and that you are so mean, you are sorry you invented such a wonderful machine. Pussycats and long-tailed rats will never more be seen. We'll grind them up in sausagers on Dunderbeck's machine. There was a little boy came to buy a piece of meat. Old Dunderbeck invited him to come and take a seat. While he was sitting there, he whistled up a tune. The sausagers began to dance and hop about the room. And now, old Mr. Dunderbeck, and that you are so mean, you are sorry you invented such a wonderful machine. Pussycats and long-tailed rats will never more be seen. We'll grind them up in sausagers on Dunderbeck's machine. Something got the matter, the machine, it would not work. Old Dunderbeck crawled in to find it out, you know. His wife, she took the nightmare, went walking in her sleep, and gave the crank one awful yank, and Dunderbeck was meat. And now, Mr. Dangerbeck, and that you are so mean, you are sorry you invented such a wonderful machine. Pussycats and long-tailed rats will never more be seen. We'll grind them up in sausengers on Dangerbeck's machine.
Oh, no. Oh.
Good.
Your people have some interesting approaches to singing, I think. It's not so much that one trains to have the perfect voice as it is that one develops a feeling about a song. Is that what do you call that in?
You can get a very, very good singer that can't sing that song with justice, and you can get a poor singer to sing that same song but put the real feeling into it. And the feeling we call for that is the cognach. They're singing from their head to their heart, through their heart and